Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, radio listeners. Thank God for me being able to come before your front once again, giving God praise and honor and glory for a new day, giving God praise and honor for allowing us to see a new day, closing our right mind. We have use and activities of our limbs because he has allowed us once again to just bask and rest in his grace, his amazing grace. That is awesome. And I am just excited. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Ola Starling, with the Anointed Word International Ministry. I thank God, praise God, that I'm able to come into your homes and you allow me to come in. I not take it for granted, but I am grateful. Thank you. But tonight, praise God, we're going to go into, praise God, our continuous study, talking about journeying through, praise God, the Word of God, and journeying, praise God, into worship, because I realize, praise God, worship, praise God, is who we should be unto the Lord. And today, praise God, we're going to be talking about a God-called kind of worship, not a corrupted worship. You understand me now? A God-called kind of worship, not corrupted worship. Praise the Lord. And the first thing, praise God, we start out with, because God, we're grateful to know that you have allowed us to come into your place and in your space. And praise God, to let out the words that are spoken here tonight be accepted in your sight. Praise God. Father God, if there's any evil, any wrongdoing that we have committed this day, God, we ask that you forgive us, Lord. Lord, we repent of every shortcoming, every iniquity, and every sin, that your word may go forth and go out and accomplish that in which it was sent, because your word cannot go out void. And God, I pray that it go out and find those in that should be delivered through this word today. And I am grateful. Thank you, Father. And tonight we're going to start out with, praise God, the most important thing about God is he desires pure worship. He desires pure worship. He wants us to glory in it and be in his worship. He wants us to have, praise God, meaning when we do and give unto him worship. The Lord is calling for us for us by his word to serve him in the way and the ways of pure worship. This is what he wants us to do. And what I mean by that is nothing more than, praise God, the word to serve us, to serve the Lord, and to worship, praise God, him, is to complete according to the will of God. This is what he wants us to do, is to worship him. This is something, praise God, we shouldn't be, praise God, something that we don't understand or it seems like it's so hard for us to get it. We are only was created to worship the true and the living God. He gave us that, praise God, that was his ability to make us in his image, that we may worship him, praise God, in true and speak the true and in spirit and truth. Yes, this is what he was saying, praise God. He requires for worship to be true, a worship at all times. He wishes us, praise God, to promote, praise God, the reformation, even in true worship, you see, so that it can become more and more pure, growing even greater, praise God, for us, praise God, and revealing it to him through our worship. This is all he has been asking for us to do. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face and what? Seek my face and turn from their wicked evil ways, then I would hear. He's telling us, praise God, I need your presence. I need your worship. I desire it. I desire your worship. And tonight we are talking about a God-called kind of worship, not a corrupted worship. And that means with pure worship, as it is our ultimate priority, praise God, to do that. And praise God, there is some praise, what we may call, praise God, some preposition for following the biblical doctrine, praise God, and from the reason we should give God pure worship. First, we remember, praise God, the devil desires, listen to me carefully, that first the devil desires nothing more than to corrupt our worship by the introduction of elements not contained in God's word, or contrary to it. You see, and we must be able to recognize this when it happens. Now, that's a concern. This is a concern for me. You see, this is a concern because we have to understand it occupies our first address. That's what I'm saying. It occupies our first address, and our first address is what? Is getting in the presence of the Lord. See, where we live at, that's where the devil wants to come, praise God, and corrupt, praise God, where you live at, praise God, because if he can do that, then he can make your comfort, your home place where you are, very uncomfortable, praise God, and undesiring. Yes. So we're saying now the devil desires to do that. You see? And then that's when it all comes about with the corruption of worship. The worship becomes corrupted. Yes. You see? But the second thing is, praise God, we must understand that dispensational for pure worship is an appreciation of its standards for judgment and for the reformation. And that means that the standard of God's word alone, it is only built upon the standard of God's word alone that we get to what? To build up our worship in pureness and holiness before the Lord through the word of God. That's how we get to pure worship. Understand me? You see, because praise God, there are standards of worship to be delivered. You understand? There is standard that we must be do, praise God, in order to get to that place, praise God, that we may be able to give God that true, pure worship. The inspiring, the inspirational of worship, you see? So now we, if we can do that, praise God, it'll let us begin to consider that what is the reason that the devil come to us with corruption of worship. And the only thing I can come up with that is because God desires pure worship. But man desires to offer him corrupted worship. You see, God desires pure worship. God is transcendent. He's absolutely supreme over all the creation. You see, before the creation came into being, God, and see, God alone always existed. And by his servitude, his flat and his putting word in his divine word, he called into existence everything and everyone else. And everything else. Okay? But God's work of creation and his continued work of his providence, okay, that is the most holy, wise, and powerful, the most holy, wise, and the most powerful preserving and governing of all the creation. And all their actions and are in their reality. Okay? Because of this pleasure now, because of the pleasure that we're talking about here, and for that sake of his own glory, God does not exist because of his creation or his creature, but he exists for him. He don't exist before that. He exists for him. Now, that is the absolute, what? Superior. The exalting his, hear him, praise God, exalting him. With over everything and all of us, he desires our permanent. He desired that promotion. He revealed his will to us. He revealed to us, praise God, because above all, he wishes whatever that we may be, what we do it all to the glory and the purity of God. What pleases him, praise God? See, you try to figure out, you know, well, let me tell you what pleases him. What pleases him, and not necessarily what pleases ourselves or anyone else, but he rules over our lives. The submission to his, to delight in God reveals his will that we must be apparent and subconscious whenever we engage in the sacred of worship. You must understand that just as good as there's good worship, there is bad worship. We must be devoted to God wholeheartedly, deliberately, you know, intense to pleasing God and carrying out his commandment to the latter. We must be willing to do that. You can't get to God by just taking a shortcut. No, 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 no. We must go and do it the way the word of God says for us to do that. See, because Christ died for us to rise up out of his own spiritual grave and to make us walk again in spirit life. That enhances, see, that enhances him. And this is what he said, this is it. From now on, we shall live unto him who died for us and rose again. To live to Christ is to worship him in superior, in the supreme, even as our Lord and our God. This involves loving and trusting Christ so much and so sincerely that pleasing him and doing his will will spurn, you know, it will spin off all, it will just push off all the other lords. It includes our own, what, tyrannical self, our own traditional self. And it will really help us to function in his ultimate priority in the way he wants us to worship him. Now, to say that, God desires our pure worship from us. worship that is clean, unfixed, free from what, you know, the little things we want to mix up. You know how we try to do it to make it seem like we did it. The weakness and the pollution of worship that includes everything you should and exclude everything and anything that which does not properly belong in it. God doesn't want that. We must be able to compare and must be able to justify and be biblically justification to make this worship that we're giving unto the Lord is pure and holy. Pure and holy. This worship that we give should be able, that we would be willing to render this pure worship to God for all eternity. Yes, the glory of God highlights, you know, it highlights and praise God and it brings forth, praise God, the redemption of the creatures and the most particular, you know, election of sinners. It makes sinners repent. But whom the Lord transformed, he transformed to respond with the greater enthusiasm in eternity of praise. Yes. You see, praise God, the scripture of true worship is found in John 4, verses 19 through 24. And it said, praise God, in John, the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our father worship in the mountains, and ye say that in Jerusalem it is the place where men ought to worship. But Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in the mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know, not what you worship, but what you worship for salvation of Jesus. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Because why? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, Jesus announced this passage, praise God, it was so very important, you know, in spiritual truth. And this is what he said, he wants true worshipers. And first he set forth the very idea of true worshipers in verse 23. The whole earth was polluted with the worshipers of various sorts, you know, with the worship offered by nearly everyone unexpected to God, because it was not of God. And see, that's when, praise God, he said, because it was everything else was mixed into that worship. He doesn't want that worship. That's what you call corrupted worship. He wants a God-called kind of worship. Yes, thank you, Father. He said the word is originally conveyed from every pertaining. It's not pertaining to what someone thinks it should be or what you think it might be or how you want it to be. It's pertaining, it should be pertaining to the very word of God, how you should worship him in spirit and in truth. Yes, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. And not, praise God, because you figured it should be this way. Then the next thing, praise God, Jesus announced that such true worshipers are already present during the earthly lifetime, and that the number of them was multiplied dramatically. The hour cometh, he said, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship me. For one thing, he knows that the worshipers were standing right in front of the woman at the well. Jesus testified to himself, I do always those things that pleases my heavenly Father. The woman didn't know what she worshipped. She was worshiping, but she didn't know what she was worshiping. But God has given us the ability to know what we worship and who we worship and why we should worship. Yes. Father, I'm grateful. Thank you. He said, praise God, he told her. He said, you see, the hour has come now. The hour is here. That you know that the true worshipers is here. And they shall worship. Already he was saving sinners and remaking them into his own image in their spiritual life. But the number of disciples was growing, you see. It was growing. And those already had changed into worshipers. You see, the Bible tells us, praise God, in John 9 and 31, for we know that God does not hear sinners' prayers. But if they be a worshiper of him, mean change your way of life, come to Jesus, become one of his, he said, then him I hear it. For we know that God does not hear sinners' prayers. But what he was saying here, he said during that time he was saving sinners. because they realize that this is the true worshiper. This is him. This is he. Because Jesus had come into the world from heaven to become the redeemer of the countless and immoral adulteries by the death, the burial, resurrection, and the ascension. And to pour out the Holy Spirit upon those, praise God, that receive him as their Lord and Savior on the day of Pentecost. True worshipers. True worshipers, my friend. And then he was saying to them, praise God, he said, I need true worshipers that will worship me in spirit and in truth. The next thing, the worship of God the Father. See, Jesus announced God the Father as the object of the worship. And he noted, well, that our Lord here emphasized the fatherhood of the Godhead. God will be worshipped as the Father in a relationship to his Son. Why? Because true worship is what you call is the Trinity. God will be worshipped, the Father, and appreciated of his gracious and faithful character. Because true worshipers is not just trembling, fearing, but grateful. You know, it is a grateful admiration. God will be worshipped as the Father in relationship to his people. Because true worshipers is offered by God's children. One of his disciples said, Father, he told him, so when will we see the Father? He said, yet you've been with me all this time and you not know me? When you've seen the Father, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. God is calling for a God kind of worship. You know, he's calling for a kind of God worship, true worship. Worship in the spirit and the truth. Jesus announced that when the true worship is in the spirit and in the truth, a phrase that we were saying it appears twice. Praise God, in verse 23 and 24, this is an extremely rich expression of a vast significance, which includes the following ideas in his judgment. In the spirit, worship that is offered in a spiritual manner, as opposed to the carnal, physical, and the outward matter. Praise God. The old covenant of worship, with this elaboration of the tabernacle and the temple, okay, associated objects and rituals. But we don't need to do that now. We worship him within ourselves, in our spirit man, because this is what he's coming back for, is the spirit in you. Hey, Samalawuhu Sata. Thank you, Jesus. He's coming back for the spirit in you. He's not coming back for the programs you put on, how many songs you sung, how long was your prayer. He's coming back for the spirit in you, because the spirit in you will recognize him, because that is him. The spirit in you belongs to him. So he's coming back for that spirit, man. And then that's why we are not suggesting that no true worshiper lived before Jesus, but for many before him had worshiped truly, even within the times of Israel. But see, the new covenant of worship overspread it, we just went out over the world, you see. And the admiration first arising from the heart of man by the eternal operation of the Holy Spirit. Worship in the Spirit is always required by the reality that God is a Spirit. And that is the nature. It is holy. It is holy. It is holy. Unlike an idol. And he therefore must be worshipped differently than an idol of worship. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord by heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands. As though we need anything, seeing be given to all life, and breath in all things. That's in Acts 17:24-25. True worshipers would be truth. It arise, praise God. With the corruption of ignorance, it won't be connected to that. It will worship God. It will offer the Father, up to the Father. True worshipers. See, according, praise God, if you want to know, praise God, probably what it's meaning, it is saying to us, worship that was made, you know, according to man to the pleasure of the worshipers that is invited by men, but know what we want to worship that is in truth, in our spirit man, not in your fleshly man, but in your spirit man. This is what God is calling for, true worshipers in the spirit. See, we're talking about the God-centered kind of worship. This is what we're speaking about. The Father desired the worshipers. He announced that the Father seeketh such true worshipers to worship him. This was a testimony both to the initiating, praise God, grace of God, that seeketh the most sinners, the enslaved to false and corrupted worship. Because during that time, praise God, people was rushing up rituals. They was rushing up statues. They was rushing up all kind of, praise God, idol gods. But what he was saying to me, I need true worshipers that can connect to me in my spirit man. God originally created man as a true worshiper, but we corrupted his worship and thereby corrupted ourselves because of things that we do that we call worship. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He said, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. It acts in concert to the recreating a host of true worshipers from the human wreck caused by sin. This is why he said, I'm going to leave. I'm going to send you a comfortable. And the comfort that comes, praise God, will lead you into all truth and guide you. It will guide you that you may need to know that you must be in the spirit, in the Holy Spirit, connected to the Spirit, acting in the Spirit, that you may become a true worshiper of God. Getting in the Word, desiring true and pure worship. We should not even begin to ask the question such as, do I like it? Or did they like it? Or will it draw a large crowd? Or will this expand our influence or thousand other typical considerations of people, you know, coming to these affairs that we give in the synagogue, all these things. True worship is not something we practice. It is something that happens because it comes from the inner man. Huh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It comes from the inner man. Yes. See, when you're driven by the Holy Spirit has its own agenda. It don't need you to pump or pry it. Praise God. The first principle of true worship is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. And unless you are pleasing God alone in your deep, deep pure worship, then it's not worship. It's just something that you call worship. Our approach to worship cannot possibly be expected to arrive, you know, at anything like a pure worship or in an outcome because many and powerful forces are there and we're trying to impress people. Pure worship comes out of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is connected to God himself, which is the Father. It's connected to our Father. We need God looking for true worshipers. True worshipers. See, but man offers corrupt worship. They offered it. They offer it. You see, one way to look at that, the sweep of the ability, you know, of that, is that when to lose our pure worship in Eden by man's sin, and the progressive restoration of pure worship by God's grace. We lost it by sin in Eden. But as we go and get into the Word of God and begin to seek the face of the Lord, we begin to restore it back into our pure worship by God's grace. Then that way, praise God, he can really fully realize that it is eternal in our eternal paradise of our new creation. Which ever since Adam sinned and fallen, man has offered corrupt worship to God. Yes. Corrupt worship are legions. But we should mention just a few important ones. To their legions. See, we found, praise God, in Genesis 4 where the Lord gave his verdict to Cain and did what? To Cain. Because he didn't do well in worship. He didn't do well at all. And when the New Testament, also speaks, praise God, of the event in Hebrews 11:4, about the worship, corrupt worship. He said that God rejected Cain and his sacrifice as being inferior to Abel and his sacrifice, which was offered by faith. Now, from that, we gather from this that Abel was a believer and that Abel's offering was the fruit of his obedience and faith in what God had said. But apparently, not when he, you know, apparently, praise God, about how he wanted to be worshipped. Cain was not a believer like Abel, and Cain did not trust God like Abel. And guess what? Jealousy flares so very much that it was, praise God, it caused, praise God, for the brother to raise up against his other brother. Only believers like Abel can offer worship that is acceptable to God, and only worship that looks to his revealing with all his direction, acceptance to God. Acceptable worship recognizes God's trustworthy character and right to rule us in all we do. Amen. Amen. That's what it does. Acceptable worship to God. But there is something else, praise God, that we must understand and realize, especially that is not worthy, that corrupted worship is also found in the account of Israel, praise God, at the base of the Mount of Sinai. Of course, when Moses was receiving the laws from God, well, what do you think was happening? Those who had just been delivered from Egypt, bondage, been in bondage all these years, they so easily forgot what hand led them. And that God's almighty power grew impatient, waiting for Moses to come back down to them, and then somebody jumped and said, I'm going to lead them in worship according to God's direction. And so they washed up a golden calf, fashioned it with graven, you know, tools by Aaron, no less, you understand. And then that's what they did. They gave God corrupted worship. And the Bible said, praise God, that she said, and the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down from thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, had corrupted themselves. Verse 8, they have turned aside quickly. Just that quick. I just brought them out of bondage. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed unto it and said, these be thy God, O Israel, which has brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. See how the devil come in to corrupt your worship? He make you even forget. He make your mind just go blank. And then he'll tell you what you're doing. You say, oh, yeah, that's right. They so easily forgot that God sent forth the deliverer to bring them out of Pharaoh's guard, and Pharaoh's out of his bonds, from up under his whip lashing. They so easily forgot. And they turned to the devil himself. Yes. They turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. This is the way of worship. This is the way of worship, and now that they have made them a molten calf, they fabricated according to man's will with no direction. God had given them direction, and God was saying to them, you worship and give me corrupt worship. And it was unacceptable in the presence of the Lord. Corrupt worship being addressing the primary one to receive one's fullness attention. Remember, for a moment, the case of Micah and Ephraim and Judge, shockingly within the land of Israel in the house of God. This man made one of the sons a priest during a time of great what? Huh? You know they was going through trouble. You see, he made him a priest. God didn't call him. Man did this when they thought it was right in their own eyes. There was so much spiritual wrong with Michael and his practice of religion. But when man put you in a place and God didn't, it's an example of corrupt worship. And God is saying, I desire that you give me pure worship. Worship arises, okay? Corrupt worship arises from misplaced priorities. When you are not in the place where God would have you to be. That's why he said, I want you to draw closer to me and I to you. And I will direct your path. You see, he said, I want to draw three things that he wants to do about corrupt worship from what we just said. Corrupt worship to separate you from God. It leads you astray. And the Bible said the wages of sin is death. Amen. I pray, praise God, that the word, praise God, was instead of resistance. It was good, praise God. God enjoyed it. I thank God for the word. And that it opened up your eyes on the call to a pure worship of God. God's calling. He wants you to be faithful to him. He wants your praise because you're pure worship. He doesn't want your corrupt worship. And the only way we can give God pure worship is to know, praise God. We must go in God's word. Find out what the word of God say about worship. Begin to get into it, praise God, and begin to seek God for the direction that we may give him, praise God, that God called kind of worship, not corrupt worship. We're not to corrupt, we're not to worship for man, but we're to worship to God. Amen. I thank God, praise God, that this, praise God, has just been a blessing, praise God, to read, praise God, and go through the studies, praise God, with you. Corrupt worship appeared, praise God, in the commencement of various special times and, you know, that things happen. You know, corrupt worship is all around us. But you must know, praise God, the direction and the hearing of the Holy Spirit that you may be directed into pure worship, because the Bible declares the time has come that God is now seeking pure worshipers unto him. Amen. I thank God, praise God, and I pray that you are blessed, praise God, from the word today. I pray, praise God, that you would take your word and get into the word and seek God and see how God would desire for you to worship him. God desires pure worship, but man offer corrupt worship. Let us recognize any sin in us and resolve to referring towards pure worship for the glory and the honor of God. Amen. I thank God, praise God, for you. Praise God until this time, praise God tomorrow. Praise God, I desire, praise God, that you would be with me, praise God, tomorrow at 2:30, praise God. We're going to go into the 10 principles now for a successful relationship in worship. You know, praise God, because the relationship is what holds things together. We got to be there holding it together. And the only thing that can hold that relationship together is the true word of God. Not something that we make up, not something that we come up with, something, praise God, that we pull out of a hat or want to, praise God, to make it look like we know it. No, my friend, the only thing, praise God, that will bring true worship to God and to the glory of God that we must realize, praise God, there are principles for the successful relationship in worship. I pray, praise God, you be blessed. I pray, praise God, I keep you in prayer. Pray, praise God, for our nation. Pray for the nation of Israel. Jerusalem, let us pray, praise God, that we may know, praise God, without a shadow of a doubt, that the worship that we give unto the Lord is pure, praise God, and is honorable unto our living God. I say, praise God, unto this time tomorrow. You be blessed. You be blessed. And know that this is your radio pastor, Pastor Ola Starling, with the Anointed Word International Ministries. Call, just tune in with us tomorrow at 2:30 and hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You be blessed. Have a blessed day. Goodbye.